Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries and the generous support of Wills Transfer Limited. 3100 Swansea Drive, Ottawa. My name is Pastor Juliet Schimpf, and I minister at First Baptist Church, and I'd like to welcome you this morning to our show. And before we dive in with today's topic, I want to make a special announcement. On Friday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at Parkdale United Church, join us to hear Rick Reed, former pastor of the Met, who will be coming as our guest speaker at a wonderful evening of celebration for Good News Christian Ministries. Well, welcome again. Today's topic is God is always faithful. God is always faithful. We're going to be looking at this promise from God, and we're going to be looking at three things in particular: the heart of a promise, the hope of a promise, and the habit of a promise. And what's interesting is a promise can be many things, and I'm going to start with the first meaning defined by Webster's Dictionary. A promise is defined, and faithfulness is defined, as worthy of trust. Worthy of trust. So let's start with the heart of a promise, and I want to explore how faithfulness can mean worthy of trust. When you think of the word politician, you don't really think worthy of trust, do you? And there's been an interesting website developed and published. It's called PolitiFact, and it actually tracks the number of promises that politicians make and then rates them as to whether or not they've accomplished them and whether or not they're worthy of trust. Interestingly, I looked up Obama's scorecard because in the 2008 election, he made approximately 500 promises. Well, so far, it turns out that the number of promises kept, according to this website, PolitiFact, he kept 241 promises, or 45%. Promises that he compromised on, 131, or 25%. Promises broken, 117. Or 22%. Promises stalled, 5. Promises in the works, 32. It's hard sometimes to keep a promise, isn't it? It's hard to be faithful. But when we do, we are worthy of trust. Well, it's hard for humans, and Harry S. Truman said, if you want to find a friend in this city, Washington, D.C., just get a dog. It's hard for humans to keep a promise. We are fickle, we are frail, we are fallen, and we're forgetful. Proverbs 20 says, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? Indeed, a faithful person is hard to find. In contrast, God is always faithful. Listen to Psalm 36. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. God is consistently faithful. Now, he made his very first promise in Genesis 3 when we humans had fallen. His very first promise was that a Messiah would come and crush the head of a serpent. Now, at the heart of a promise is a father, namely God, who wants to make promises to his precious children, just like your fathers and mothers make promises to you. God makes promises because he loves his children. and God is worthy of our trust because, unlike humans, he is not fickle. God cannot help but keep his promises for a few reasons. One is God is unchanging. Malachi 3:6 says, I, Lord, do not change. Whereas us humans change our mind, change our positions, change our promises, God does not change. He's also truthful. Numbers 23 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Because he tells the truth, when he says he promises something, he delivers. Another reason God can keep his promises every time is that he's omnipotent. 1 Thessalonians says, the one who calls you is always faithful and he will do it. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. Nothing can thwart his promise. God is also eternal. Deuteronomy 7 says, know therefore that God is faithful, keeping his covenant promises to 1,000 generations. Any promise God makes today, he can keep 10,000 years away from now, 100,000 years out, because he is eternal, and he outlasts and outlives any promise he makes. Bottom line, as a result of this, God can be trusted, and he is worthy of our trust, and he is faithful because at the heart of his promise is the desire of a father to receive our trust. Friends, that's the heart of a promise, that God is worthy of our trust. In a moment, we're going to come back and look at the hope of a promise. But I'd like us to pause and reflect on what we've just heard and listen to a beautiful song by Sila. The song is entitled Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
Welcome back. Today we're looking at the topic of promises. And we're looking at a specific promise, namely that God is always faithful. God is always faithful. Now, before our break, we looked at the heart of a promise. And now we want to look at the hope of a promise. The hope of a promise. When we talked about the heart of the promise, we were looking at the fact that faithfulness can be defined as worthy of trust. But now I want to switch gears and tell you that faithfulness can be defined another way, namely as true to the original. True to the original. And I want to talk about how God is faithful because Jesus Christ is true to the original. Now, I want to back up, though, and talk about how unfaithful I've been with my promises, and I wonder if any listener can relate this morning. When I was a teenager, I made one of my first promises to my dad. We had had a friendly bet. He challenged me to spell a word, namely onomatopoeia, and the breakfast was over, or I'm sorry, the bet was for a breakfast in bed. And I was confident I could spell this word correctly. And, in fact, I was wrong. I spelt it incorrectly. So I owed my dad a breakfast in bed. Problem is, he said he wanted his breakfast the next day at 6 a.m. Well, that was a little too early for my liking. I never delivered. A year later, we had another friendly bet. And I thought, great, I'm going to redeem myself. And this time, I was challenged to name a capital city in a European country, and again I was wrong. And this time my dad said, okay, you're going to deliver on your original promise. I want a breakfast in bed, and I'd like kippered herring. Well, friends, I can barely muster up, scrambled eggs in the morning, let alone kippered herring. So I said, Pops, I'm sorry, I can't deliver. So that's two promises that I failed on. But I'll tell you what, God is faithful because he is true to the original promise. He is true to the original promise. The reason being that Jesus Christ is true to the original. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1. It says, all of God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Every single promise God makes in the Old Testament is made yes and amen in the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, how can that be? Well, the reason why every promise in Jesus Christ is fulfilled is that Jesus is true to the original. In other words, Jesus is God himself. Jesus is divine, and he is omnipotent, eternal, truthful, unchanging. He reflects all the same properties of God the Father. He is true to the original. And so, Christ will always come through. And he makes promise after promise after promise. Promise to never leave us nor forsake us. Promise that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Promise that he is the resurrection and the life eternal. He makes a promise that if we come to him and we are weary, he will give rest for our souls. There is a beautiful promise that if we deny God, he cannot deny us, for he is faithful. And so Jesus Christ will stay true to his word and give us every promise he ever makes, for he is true to the character of God himself. Well, we're going to listen to another great song, and this one is by a beautiful artist named Sarah Groves. And her title is Jesus, You're Beautiful. Welcome back. This morning we're talking about promises, and we're talking about how God always keeps his promise, and that God is a faithful God. He is faithful. We've talked about how at the heart of a promise, namely God's promises, is a father who loves his children. We've talked about, after the heart of a promise, we talked about the hope of a promise. We talked about how Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the hopes of promises made, because he is yes and amen to every promise made by God the Father. I want us now to look at the habit of a promise. And this is really where the rubber hits the road for us humans, the habit of a promise. And here we're going to look at a third definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness, as we've looked at, can be defined, of course, as worthy of trust. We saw how it can be defined as true to the original. I want to look now at how faithfulness can be defined as consistency. Consistency. I wonder if you're familiar with Old Faithful. And let's think for a moment, how did it get that name? Well, Old Faithful, which is located in Yellowstone National Park, does something every 91 minutes. Namely, it spouts and it erupts water gushing into the sky. And it is faithful because it is consistent. Like clockwork, every 91 minutes, Old Faithful erupts. It's predictable. And likewise, God is consistent and God is predictable. And he's actually asking us to emulate him. He's asking us to be faithful because the world is watching. And the world is wondering, does this Christian faith make a difference? Are we people who actually show up? Are we people who live out what we actually talk about? Are we predictable? Are we consistent? Bottom line, are we faithful? Well, I've learned a few principles to help me cultivate faithfulness. It's a gradual character trait to cultivate over time, and I'd like to share those with you this morning. First of all, to be faithful, the Bible tells us in Matthew 5 not to make promises with people. God says simply, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, this is a way to cultivate consistency. What this means is don't make grandiose promises. Don't swear on the name of God or his Bible. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I learned this the hard time because I was late for a few dates with some of my friends at university. I didn't show up on time, and I missed another appointment. And my girlfriend, who one day led me to Christ, said, Juliet, you just need to let your yes be yes. If you say you're coming to the movies with us, just show up. Well, that changed my lives. And so I hope that's a fresh word for some listener today. To cultivate faithfulness, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That means you are allowed to say no to things, listeners. If you're overstretched, better not to overpromise and underdeliver. Better just to say, no, I cannot do this at this time. What's another principle for cultivating faithfulness? Well, Galatians 5 tells us that to be faithful is not something that we muster up in our own flesh. It's not like we can wake up today and say, I'm going to be a faithful person. The truth is, according to Galatians 5, that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And so what we do to cultivate faithfulness is that we fill up on the Holy Spirit each day. And I want you to imagine that you're like a balloon. And like a balloon which fills up with air and expands and grows bigger and bigger, that should be you, filling up on the Holy Spirit each day. And as you fill up, your faithfulness quotient will increase. Another principle is that Matthew 25 says that if you are faithful with a few things and small things, God will then give you bigger things, grander things to be faithful in. And so to cultivate genuine faithfulness, you need to start with the small things. Start with the small things when no one is watching. You know, I live in a small town, and it's remarkable. Everyone is very polite and respectful and dutiful. And so you go to the shopping mall and everyone returns their shopping cart back to the store, They walk it all the way back to the front store. I actually originally come from a big city where everyone leaves their grocery cart right out in the parking lot. And so every time I go grocery shopping now in my small town, Perth, I feel a little tap on my shoulder, a little nudge. Juliet, be faithful in the small things and walk your grocery cart back to the front entrance. This might sound trivial, but if I'm not faithful in the small things, how can I expect to be faithful in the big things? But if we are faithful in the small things, God will promote us to greater things. Now, I know that sometimes we fall off the horse. And if you're anything like me, you've been unfaithful in an area of your life. Maybe you haven't kept a promise with a friend. Maybe you've been unfaithful to a spouse, heaven forbid. Whatever it is, chances are you've been unfaithful at some point in your life. But that's all right. What you do this morning is come with me to the foot of the cross, to our faithful God. Perhaps you're in the midst of temptation. Turn to Christ, for he will be faithful and provide a way out. The good news is we serve a faithful God. And at the heart of our God is a promise. And the hope of our God is a promise lived out by Jesus Christ. Friends, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a faithful God. And we thank you that you are worthy of our trust. And we thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, is true to the original. And we just ask that we could live out such faithfulness ourselves. And so we ask that you will help us to cultivate faithfulness in our own lives. To that end, fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray for the listener who's perhaps discouraged this morning. Encourage them that you are a faithful God who will never leave them nor forsake them. And for the person who's never yet accepted Christ into their heart, I pray today would be the day. They'd put it off no longer. And they'd trust that you are the Father they've been looking for their whole lives. And just come to you and say, I surrender. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
When you start to doubt if you exist, God believes in you. Confounded by the evidence, God believes in you. And when your light burns so dim, and when your chances seem so slim, and you swear you don't believe in him, God believes in you. And when you rise up just to fall again, God believes in you. Deserted by your closest friends, God believes in you. And when you're betrayed with a kiss and you turn your cheek to another fist, it does not have to end like this, 'cause God believes in you. And oh, everything matters if anything matters at all. Yeah, everything matters no matter how big, no matter how small. 'Cause God believes in you, and oh, God believes in you. Shame that you could die, God believes in you. And you can't do right even though you try, God believes in you. Yeah, blessed are the ones who grieve, the ones who mourn and the ones who bleed. In sorrow you sow but in joy you reap, God believes in you. Joy you will reap. God believes in you, and oh.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.